conversation about some of the things that Rita's brought up, some that I'm going to unpack and outline just very briefly in some remarks. And then I'll give you an arc of the way that the session will proceed, which is that I will introduce the three panelists who will come up and give a presentation, and then I'll invite them back afterwards to the table. I always like to disrupt the very soporific format or genre of the academic table, so I invite you to do so as much as possible as well. And to do that, I also love the idea of constraint, so I've now heard rumors that of some of the constraints that, in conversation with Rita and Christina, we devised for this presentation, which is briefly just to have each panelist, each scholar, give a very brief link between an art practice from, say, the 1970s, from the historical moment of the Chicano movement, and then link it to some of the artists that are in the exhibition Phantom Sightings. And by so doing, they're going to be engaging with some of the themes that are crucial and critical to this exhibition, which is, as Rita has just mentioned, this idea of, in the age of global finance capital, notions of difference, multiculturalism, border art, and vernacular forms of the global contemporary art context. I also want to briefly mention the three essays by the three curators, which, if you haven't had a chance to look at the catalog, I urge you to do so. They're terrific essays, and each has its own take on how we might frame the discussions that the panelists will talk about today. Chan Noriega troubles the very term of the title of the exhibition, that is Phantom Sightings, Art After the Chicano Movement, and does a very beautiful job of talking about how phantom, the idea of the phantom, is both one that makes visible that which is invisible, but that also makes invisible things that are visible. That practice of sighting, S-I-G-H-T, which is also a practice of sighting, S-I-T-E, and sighting, C-I-T-E, that is giving it a place. To cite something is to give it a place, a geography, an actual location, but it's also turning an object into a cultural object, that is, that we can make reference to, as we'll be doing today. So we'll be doing sighting, C-I-T-E. Rita Gonzalez, in her essay, looks at these spatial concerns in what she talks about. What we're looking at in this exhibition are practices that destabilize and critically engage urban locations or ideas and notions about the monument and about the built environment. And Howard Fox uses this notion of the spectacle or display when he talks about the authenticity itself as a value system that excludes and excludes, but it also scrutinizes, or is scrutinized, I should say, and parodied by the artists on display in Phantom Sightings. He talks about doppelgangers, tricksters, shapeshifters, and this leads, I think, is a nice lead into presenting our first panelist. Reina Alejandra Prado, I say this because Reina has an alter ego, Santa Perversa, so I'm not quite sure if it's going to be Reina up here or Santa Perversa. I'll let Reina decide. But as a scholar and a writer invested in the language arts, a poet, I think it would be interesting also for her to discuss how language practices and art practices are imbricated with each other. Reina Alejandra Prado is a doctoral candidate in American Studies and Ethnicity at the University of Southern California. Her dissertation, Caught Between Aztlan and the River's Edge, Mapping Cultural Infrastructure in Downtown Los Angeles, analyzes cultural policy documents in order to understand how Los Angeles emerged as a city with culture. For the past 10 years, Prado has been teaching courses in Chicano Latino studies, gender studies, museum studies, and Mexican art history at colleges and universities throughout Southern California. So please help me in welcoming Reina Alejandra Prado.
Joining us this morning. And also, thank you, Rita and Christina, for inviting me to participate in this conversation. Taking a cue from the symposium's title, I frame my discussion on place and identity by focusing on artworks that evoke the presence of beings or the legacy of a people that have been historically displaced, colonized, or socially marginalized. These artworks make evident what is perceived to be invisible by citing the void or absence, or as Chon Noriega states in the catalog, artists seeing what is not considered to be there. I'll discuss artists whose work demonstrates an interconnectedness of self in relation to history and geocultural dynamics. Each work illustrates the political realities of a place that constructs and constrains one's sense of being, even if at times that place constructs one as a foreigner or terrorist in one's own homeland. Laura Perez notes that for most Mexican Americans or Chicanos, quote, the politics of place has translated into historically being kept in their place, end quote. And these artist projects reclaim places, locations, and sites who offer nuanced articulations of subject formation. Their work speaks to the transient nation of our livelihoods, expanding the conversation about identity in this post-identity moment. The two works that I'll talk about, this one that you see up now is by Patrick Bato Hebert, and it's from his series, Hay una vieja que está enamorada. What you're seeing is actually a still photograph entitled Canon. And the next piece, Sandy Rodriguez's, it's a series of paintings focusing on Mar Vista, and this is Mar Vista Sunset East. These two artists are actually contemporaries doing work in this, I guess we could call it a millennial moment. Both their pieces were done in early 2000. Bato's work was done in 2002, and Sandy's, I think, was done in 2005. But in thinking about this notion of the ghostly, which is seen in much of the work at Fine Signings, I believe it magnifies the absence that artists rearticulate and reinscribe a memory of place. Toni Morrison speaks of it as a literary archaeology, in which the writer's journey to a site see what remains and to reconstruct the world that the remains imply. This similarly, I believe that artists like Hebert Rodriguez, Christina Fernandez, and Ken Gonzalez Day employ a visual archaeology that makes present what was eclipsed by discourses which subsumed alternative histories. So in thinking about these sightings and the phantasmic, Bato has a beautiful term called the forgotten. And so in this piece, for Bato, the photographic documentation becomes a collection of forgottens. He says that a series, the images form a collection of forgottens, strange kinds of memories that were never solid enough even to be lost and therefore not quite real enough to be remembered. And so how do we document something that's forgotten or something that is as elusive? He uses actually lenticular technology, which we're not getting a sense of it here with the still image. But with the photograph, the image shifts as the viewer moves. And so for Bato, this was actually quite exciting because it was the only way that he can incorporate the fluidity and the dynamics and the disappearing of much of the history of his family in Panama, but also his transnational relationship between Panama and Oregon and Idaho. And he describes the shifting as a ghosting effect. He says, images disappear and appear on the wall. And I want to really engage with this idea of the ghosting effect that manifests the complex history of his familiar roots, but also tracking the changes that happened in his mother's homeland, particularly since the turnover of the Panama Canal in 1999. He wanted to document these changes. He felt the sense of urgency. And the sense of urgency becomes another theme that I read into some of these artists' works. He says, I wanted to photograph the changes in the social and political landscape that were shaping the rifts in my familiar landscape. I wanted to photograph as a way to rethink the colonial and tourist iconographies while also avoiding easy essentialist tropes of Panamanian nationalism. In this act of remembrance, Bato tags the landscape with his abuela's rocking chair, inserting his family presence throughout Panama, a territory that's wrought with colonial and imperial history. He documents the Spanish ruins known as Panama Viejo because it marked the primary location of Spain's lucrative colonial port. And this insertion of self reminds me very much of what Ana Mendieta does in her work with the siluetas. In some ways, speaking of the autobiographical, Sandy Rodriguez in her series of Mar Vista paintings really kind of evokes an attention to the landscape. Similarly, she's also tracking those changes, and she's documenting the changes that happen in predominantly working class Latino neighborhoods. Many of her paintings speak to the impermanence of the region, as she evokes moments in Los Angeles that are now formed part of memories of yesteryear. She documents new truths, astutely observing and taking note what's going on in her neighborhood, whether these changes are caused by natural occurrences such as fires, or actually man-made alterations due to the rapid urban growth of gentrified communities. Beautifully, formalistically, paintings, they could be considered light studies, landscape paintings in that tradition. But what she's trying to, I think, capture, and what's the tension that is here, as well as in Bato's work, is the irony, right? The irony of that beauty that is also filled with either the toxic landscape, the dangerous or often violent history of race and nationalism. So in thinking about this notion of these two works, though both Bato and Sandy use their life experiences or their own family history to document these specific sites, they make both the absence palpable. They address the haunting of the history. And this haunting is a practice that we see very much in Chicano and Latino artists' connection to land. This land connection to history and place and memory. Laura Perez talks about it in this way. Our historical relationship to certain places is reflected in specific natural landmarks charged with memory as markers of our identity, that of our ancestors who cared for and respected in part as such. So, what markers do we claim? Here we have an image by Cristina Gonzalez, part of the Lavanderia series. This is actually Lavanderia number 2, and this one is included in the show. This is done in 2002. And so what strikes me about this image, actually, is the fact that it's this documentation not just of the urban landscape, but what is not seen. Here you notice that the figure is blurred at the center. But it speaks to a particular place in which we can read who goes there, right? The working class community. Many who are immigrant, many who are Latino immigrants, who are seen as an invisible demographic, particularly in the last 2, if not 5 years, here in California. But this pattern of absences are symbolic of the different histories that Cristina Fernandez, here talking about this modern moment, or Ken Gonzalez Day, speaking of something that happened. Though we see here a beautiful photograph, this is actually entitled At Day the Miserable Man Was Carried to the Oak, done in 2003, and it's part of the series of Hang Trees. Though we do not know who was this man, though we do not know where this place was, this image is loaded with a series of recollections of a moment. I'm reminded of this violent history, this pattern. There is no noose here, but all we have left is the location of the site of memory, of the site of an event. He talks about, in this work, about the practice of lynching of Mexicans here in California. Probably a history that most of us are not familiar with. And what I want us to consider then is how is it that both Ken, Cristina, and by extension also Sandy and Bato use the absence to make present this history. And to really have us consider then this presence and connectionship not only to memory, but to a specificity of place, to a moment. I loved how actually in the cat, I think it was Rita's essay where she's citing on reading, He talks about this as, quote, a project of cultural invention, emanating from neither the fragment nor the ruin, but from the absence. And so we go back to what Toni Morrison talks about, this archaeology. And so I want us to think about then, if in fact artists, writers are those archaeologists, what is the remain that they choose to play with? What's the remain that they choose to disclose to us, the viewers? And in thinking about place and our connection to place and this idea, articulation that we want to have in terms of discussing identity, I leave you then with two quotes by two different poets. One is Pablo Neruda, where he says, I'm going to school myself so well in things that when I try to explain my problems, I shall speak not of self, but of geography. And Adrian Rich tells us, I need to understand how a place on the map is also a place in history. And these places and these memories are where we begin to disclose what these remains tell us. Thank you.